another fine edition of My So-Called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Villegas.
Hey, wait a minute. That's my intro. What the fuck's going on? That's not what you're not supposed to say that. You're not me.
All right. Yeah, so I'm not Roberto, obviously. But, you know, I was thinking the other day, 1 year of
first,
episode.
First, you should say who the hell you are, good sir.
No. They know who I am.
No, they don't. Who are you?
I'm Aaron Ryder.
Who are you? Like, did you ever read? I have a question for you. Can you ever read? Is a dead internet comic. Did you ever read the internet comic Mallrat? No, was it Mallrat? I think it was Mall Monkeys, something like that.
No, I have not.
Oh, it's a dead internet comic. One of the characters always say, "Who are you?" Anyways, continue.
See, he can't stop interviewing. This is why I wanted to do this. So 1 year of podcast is a really impressive milestone. And I said, you know, Roberto has interviewed literally everyone. Tom Merritt, Brian Brushwood, Jesus, like everybody. Roberto is.
I hope to God I haven't either. I've done Jesus because that's the case. Then the end of the world is near. Although technically, never mind.
So the point was is that I was like, hey man, I was like, nobody has ever interviewed you. So on today's episode, Roberto Villegas.
Thank you for having me. It's great to have myself on an episode finally. I've always wondered what myself would be like on an episode, and I never could figure that one out. And I'm really glad to be here.
Cool, man. Well, I am glad to have you here, and thank you for letting me answer some or ask you some questions.
By all means, go ahead, sir.
So the first one I would like to know is, what is your background? Where were you born? What?
So it's all the questions that come into like, okay, so your mom's maiden name is this, your city of birth is that, and okay, the next
security. That's a good one. What's your city of birth?
Oh, great. You want all the security questions, I see. Okay.
Yes. Also, your dad's maiden name and the street you grew up on.
Sure. My dad's maiden name, great. That if you can't figure what's your dad's maiden name? You might want to try that again.
The sex change.
So I was born in a little town called Flint, Michigan.
Oh, you were born in Michigan. So yeah. you're not an Austin native.
No, dear Lord, no, I'm not an Austin native. Much like most Austinites, I'm not native to Austin. I was born in a little town called Flint, Michigan. Like, no.
Oh, Flint's pretty big, actually.
Flint's a pretty fucking town. I was born in Flint. I won't say what hospital because we'll at least keep that one guessing. But
yeah, I don't need to.
There's only two hospitals in Flint, so you know,
one of those.
Take a gamble, and you may get it right, you may get it wrong. But yeah, I was born in Flint. I think the year was 1980. Yeah, the year would be 1982. Like, I think the year was 1982. Of course, fuck, I know my birth year. I can't remember what was popular back then in terms. I've looked in history. I think the song that was popular was a Hall & Oates song, but I don't know which one.
I don't know.
I'm not even kidding you.
I was 2 years old, so I couldn't tell you.
But yeah, I was born in 1982 in Flint, Michigan.
Awesome. And then, so when did you get down to Austin? Why did you guys move to Texas?
So, yeah, that's a longer story than it needs to be. But make a long story. Well, I guess I'll make it short. So, I think I was graduating high school. I was getting basically done with that part of that chapter of life, if you will. And my dad actually originally is from Texas. He's originally from the Valley, and he had gotten a. In terms of medical stuff, a better job offer down here. And, you know, at that point in time, Flint was kind of a dying town and you know, in terms of everything else. And Laredo was a very, very fast growing town. It still is very fast growing in terms of potential, in terms of what's happening. Even with all the different kinds of issues with Nuevo Laredo, trade still is booming perfectly fine. And I was starting college, and I applied to Texas A&M International University there in Laredo, got accepted, and then she moved there, and then through a couple of job hops, I ended up getting a job here in Austin, and I think I've been here since, let's see, if I graduate, I think I've been here about since 2008, 2009? That sounds about right. That sounds about right in my head. I really can't. I literally. This is what's funny. I can't remember when I would have to look through my records to figure out when I exactly moved to Austin. That's how ingrained Austin is to me now because I've been here for so long. Or at least in my head, I'm like, when did I move here again? And then so it's. Yeah, I guess about I've been here like about two, 3 years, pretty much ever since I got my job here where I'm working currently.
Dude, that's pretty awesome. So what did you graduate? What was your specialty?
So my degree is a very strange degree pattern. I graduated as an English major with an MIS minor. MIS is Management wow. Information Systems, kind of IT work.
Yeah.
Originally, actually, I went to college as an MIS, or at the time CIS major, mainly because I thought it would help me get computer classes quicker. And throughout college, I think it was – it would have to be English – Lit 2, the first, like the second version of English you take. Like, basically, the opening beginner's English was really kind of boring and it was like, eh, whatever. Just like, here's how you write a college paper. I'm like, I don't fucking write a college paper already. Give me a fucking break. And so essentially, when it came to English 2, to make a longer story shorter, or not really shorter, I guess, I started really liking my English courses. I really started digging them. I really, really, really liked them. And it was kind of triggered off by the funny thing is by one of my professors, Dr. Sean Chadwell. And I would later learn he was one of two professors that did this. I at the time back in college, I used to wear this tux cap, you know, had a hat and with a Linux.
Wait, what's a tux cap?
You know who Tux is, right? The mascot for the Linux operating system, the penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to wear a hat that had Tux on them. And it was, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And basically, I'd go into class. I'd wear my computer classes, knowing what the hell it was. And I'd walk into this English course, and this professor's like, oh, hey, awesome Tux hat. I'm like, you know what this is? Because like it's weird for me to have an English professor be the only person on the planet to know what the hell it is when no one else knew what the heck it was.
Right.
I would later learn that one of the local sororities had usurped the logo as the logo for their sorority, but that's neither here nor there. It technically is okay with the license, I think.
Yeah, because it's open source. Yeah. I don't know. That's kind
of – It's okay. I knew some of the girls who were in there, and they're pretty cool people. So, you know,
right.
What can you blame? They later – I think they knew, but they didn't – they weren't like – you know, they didn't run the operating system or anything like that. But in any case, I found out he actually ran Linux on campus. I think he was running I'd like to say he was running SUSE before SUSE kind of went before SUSE was owned by Novell, and he kind of did it on his own because he really had no help from the IT staff. They just kind of let him roll, and so I had English class with him, and I've started really liking the English course. I liked discussing. I liked kind of go over the literature, kind of analyzing and things like that, and. I took another English course with Dr. Chadwell. I forgot what my second English course was. I think it might have been American English Part 1, and you know, from modern day, from like the 20th century to the present, or from like the early 19th century to the present, basically, you know, pretty much that. And I really dug it. And I was about to then go to take another English course, but I had no more English credits left. I didn't have to take anything else for English. And I started thinking really, really, really hard about whether or not I was going to change majors. At that time, I had pretty much gone computer straight on through. I had never really shown any interest in English. I had never really gone beyond that. I had literally been, you know, a computer guy straight on through. I'd taken all the programming courses, things like that. So this was a complete departure for me. And I ended up talking to my parents and how that worked out. My mom was scared shitless. She was scared.
Yeah, because everybody thinks, oh, Roberto's the big computer guy. He'll do all the computer stuff.
And then
English, what?
Yeah, it was literally a total curveball for most of my family. But I remember the day that I started even thinking about it and sort of that. And I was like kind of walking around and I lo and behold bumped into Dr. Chadwell. I was like, hey, Dr. Chad, how's it going? And you know, we're having chit chat. And he goes, so how's it going? I go, I'm kind of thinking about switching majors to English. He goes, really? That's great. I go, yeah, but I really don't know how I should do it. He's like, well, come to my office. Well, let's get you advised. And so I go up to his office, look at the credits I had, what applied, and as it turns out, I kept my MIS as a minor because I went burn all my credits. I really had no other idea what I wanted to do in terms of a minor. More importantly, I still want to take computer courses. And then I did a major in English and kind of went down that path. And that's kind of what I graduated with.
Dude, that's pretty awesome. I mean, that really shows the kind of influence that like really good teachers have on people. Like that's kind of inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, because for me, like I said, it was enough. Having those classes was enough to convince me to switch my major. And at that time, I'd also started hating. Like, I liked my computer courses. I couldn't stand my business courses. I could not stand them. Like, there was something about the business side that I had no appeal to, and I had no love for.
As somebody with an AA in business, I can definitely agree with you in some aspects. I think the biggest problems that I had with the business courses was fucking accounting. Like, accounting is a different language. It's not – it shouldn't even be counted as a business course. It should be counted as
a
foreign language. Because, you know, income and revenue all have these specific meanings, and then they have all their own like statements and charts and stuff. And right. It's like, oh my God, it's crazy. So I can definitely get – I could see how you would get frustrated with business courses.
And so, you know, at that point, since I had – because it was like I didn't like the computer courses. I always loved that, and, you know, depending on what professor I had, made it even more fun. But I couldn't stand any of my business maths. I couldn't stand any of my higher kind of level stuff. For some reason, it just never interested me. It never caught me. I was like, it was funny. I remember the year that I made my decision. I had skipped my business math like at least a good week. I'd skipped that class.
And then, oh man,
I'm not even like I dropped it in the end of it all, but I had zero interest, and it was like I couldn't even go to the course. I was like, this is so freaking boring. But it wasn't even it wasn't boring. I mean, I've had boring English classes before, but it was like, this is just, why am I here? What am I doing? And it was literally like I couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it, and. That was when I started really thinking about it. When that kind of kicked in my head, I was like, this might be what I need to skip. I can't do this. And it turns out that as a minor, I didn't have to take the business side of things. I could just take the computer courses. I was like, all right, I'm in. Let's do this. And that's what happened.
Dude, that's pretty awesome. So here's my question. So when you got your English degree,
right?
Like, how did you kind of think of like what am I going to do with this now? Like, what?
I've had no idea what I was going to do in the end of it all, obviously. But the beauty thing about an English degree, and it's the thing they never tell, that it's the thing no one ever tells you unless you talk to the right person.
Right.
And it's that you can literally do anything you want with an English degree.
Yeah. It's really versatile.
It's extremely versatile. It's not even silly how versatile it is. There are people, like, I remember at one point we went over the stats of it, I think Dr. Channel and I, and it was like there were people that were like working at IBM higher ups that had no idea about computer stuff, people working as EMS technicians, medical people. Like, you could literally do whatever the hell you want with an English degree. And it's hard to say that because everyone thinks of it as, oh, you can only teach, when that is the furthest thing from the truth. You can skip teaching if you want to skip teaching altogether. You could do whatever you'd like. I think
the bottom line is the 4 years gives you sort of a this is my piece of paper that shows I'm a competent human being.
Right,
and
right.
And then like English kind of suggests a good communication ability to communicate because right. There's a lot of writing involved and stuff like that. So I think in the business world, an English degree is almost as good as having just a business degree.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
And for sure, since, you know, I got lumped in IT in the end of it all, but it's not that I don't use my English degree more than my MIS degree. I know pretty well. It's just, I just couldn't stand the business courses. The business courses were the one thing that I just couldn't stand, and somehow that got me into English. But
I tell you, I've taken some really douchey business courses. I totally get it, man. Well, that's pretty awesome, dude. That's something that, you know, I never really knew. So here's my follow up then, I guess. If you were doing all this these English courses and having all this stuff, did you ever consider like journalism at all, like any kind of journalistic type of thing?
I did, and I think what it was that every time I always had like electives to take and things like that. And one of the electives I could take, I think, was journalistic writing, where you did actually write for the school paper, which was crap, much like any college paper. But this was more crap than most college papers. And I realized it was crap when you'd read it and you'd read the movie reviews. I think that when I came on the scene, if you will, I'll tell a story in a second about like one of the articles I wrote, but I remember I did it because I was like, well, let me see what journalistic writing is like. And writing journalistically or writing for a newspaper is probably the most nerve-wracking thing for an English major.
Really?
Yeah. Now I'll explain why. Most of the time when you're given a paper in English, you're it's not so much how many pages, it's word count. It's, you know, 5,000 words or, you know, X right, amount of right. words. That's just the minimum you need to reach. You can go above that and beyond if you'd like. If so long as you're still clear and concise, you can write, you know, a tome if you wanted to. Not so much in a newspaper. You have a hard limit of, you got to write 500 words. And you can't go over 500 words, and you sure as hell can't go under 500 words. And when you go into a story, and there's a certain thing you want to talk about, like there's this one time I wrote a paper on the planetarium that opened up at our school, which was really cool because I'm a science nerd. I'm somewhat, you know, I love tech and everything that goes into it. And here I am like learning all the stuff that's in the planetarium. It's all badass and things like that. And, you know, I'm like, I want to work this in because this sounds like a fun part. And then, you know, the guy literally as I'm taping him says, "We are losing money very rapidly." And I go, "That's the story." And that's not the story I wanted to tell. That's the story that fits in 500 words, and it was probably the most nerve-wracking thing I wrote because I really wanted to talk. I was like, I wanted to go in there and actually make just a piece talking about the tech and like how this benefits the college and everything else, and how this is the greatest thing that's ever happened here, and this is something that should continue, and we should praise this and not, you know, not that. Whereas the guy just opened up with something, and it just, that was what the story was that this thing wasn't really making a profit because that's not what planetariums do. And I agree with him. They're not supposed to make profit. They're not supposed to make money. But when you're talking with, you know, a college and trustees and people that, you know, put money into something, you know, who gives a shit whether it's good for the community or not? And that was the story that kind of came out. And it turns out later that kind of I might have got that guy fired, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh no! Well, he was just being honest. I mean,
no,
that's
yeah,
the,
and that's the thing is that you know sometimes that happens with stories where you only have a 500 words to say your point when, and ultimately you can either A, go with the story that you really want to tell, which sometimes isn't necessarily the story, and that's kind of what I learned is certain thing kind of going into journalistic writing. Sometimes the story is what it is, and you know, you don't have the control of it. I mean, if I liked anything, you know, of all that, it was definitely the movie review. I actually did a write up for at the time Serenity, which you know,
oh, wow,
which my first kind of foray into the Firefly world. And I loved it. I loved Serenity a lot, and you know, made sure to write the review the way I wanted to write it, because you know, kind of not revealing the plot points, you know, just doing that way. And I remember one of my friends coming up to me and saying, "You know what? I dug your review of Serenity, not because I may have not liked the movie, but because you didn't actually give away the plot. Apparently, a lot of the previous writers would just rattle off the plot and the entire fucking thing, and that's not what you do." And I, you know, I went in there talking about how, you know, in Serenity, a certain, you know, kind of giving the background of Serenity, the world and the world of Firefly. Mainly at that point, like after I watched Serenity, I kind of really dug deep into Firefly and got like really into it in a big bad way. Started learning what Joss Whedon wanted to do with it, with everything else, all the combinations of China and the U.S. being the last superpowers in the universe. Kind of going all that into a review, and trying to fit that within a certain word limit to, you know. Basically doing what Joss kind of did the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of his film. explaining what the hell this Firefly world is all about, because only so many people saw the television series, you know, and its 15-episode run, which I don't even think really got all the episodes out.
But was it only 15 episodes?
Yeah, it was only 15 episodes.
Ah, it's such a shame, man, because that's one of my favorite settings of, like, all time.
Oh, yeah, no. It was only a 15-episode run, and it was not obviously a full season. It was barely a blip on the radar in terms of television. Oh.
So did this experience sort of help you kind of formulate some of the ideas to start doing podcasts on your own, because it gives you sort of that freedom to actually pick the story that you want to tell and sort of do things your way?
Well, I mean, because I tried podcasting, like, not during college. At college, I think that's when it was during college, I'd like to say, that I kind of got into listening to podcasts. I don't remember exactly when.
What was the first podcast you ever listened to?
Oh, the first podcast I ever listened to. Do you want to get technical, or do you want to get?
What's the first podcast you ever listened to, and what's the first podcast you really listened to on a regular basis that you really liked?
Define podcast, and I say this because of this. There's a show.
I guess it's true because when podcasting isn't really all that old, and people were just kind of
There is a show I used to listen to back in high school. Back in high school, they used to have. Do you remember Live 365?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I used to stream an internet radio station on Live 365 for like five of my friends when I got bored.
Really?
Yeah, I did. That's kind of cool. Yeah. I've been behind a microphone that. But in any case, there was a show that someone had that was there. It was called My Bong Runs Linux.
That's awesome.
It is a pretty awesome title, and I loved the hell out of that show. And they would have all their episodes taped, and they'd put it on their i365 station, and they'd listen to them repeatedly. Now, technically, does that count as?
Yeah, I think that counts.
Yeah, that's why.
Count it just because it sounds like it would have been an awesome show,
and it was. And so technically, that was my first podcast, because I listened to that before I listened to what was known as the Revenge of the Screensavers, which is now known as This Week in Tech.
Yeah.
I listened to that well before you know Twit came on the scene, but. Beyond that, I guess Twit would be like the first podcast. Or the Revenge of the Screensavers. So I didn't really get Indignation at the beginning. I don't think I got into Revision, you know, all that in the beginning. I did listen to Indignation, you know, after I'd heard, you know, that Kevin Rose was doing that. And I was like, oh, rock and roll. And I guess that'd be it. They had Twit would be some of the first podcasts I listened to.
That's pretty awesome. So you're like a Twit OG.
Oh yeah, no, I've at least been since the Revenge of the Screensavers. I haven't necessarily kept up with every podcast they've done, but in terms of that, I did listen to that at the beginning. Obviously, I listened like the beginnings of Smodcast after I heard that was happening. I guess the podcast I might have watched from day one was probably. God, I had to think. What have I listened to from day one? Like I listened to from day one. Probably would have been Techzilla. Techzilla probably was the podcast I listened to from day one terms of production. But I can't. But yeah, if I had to say the first podcast I listened to, if you want to technically call it a podcast, because it was before the concept of podcasting was even kind of discussed, would be My Bong Runs Linux. That would be the first one.
That's pretty awesome. So what got you, I guess then what got you into doing sort of your own podcast?
I graduated college, and this is actually the first podcast I did actually is now defunct. It was called the Moonside Podcast. It was literally a tech kind of college / whatever news you want to talk about podcast. Only reason called Moonside because I couldn't think of a title and I liked Earthbound, and that's really about it. There's really no rhyme or reason because no one else had an idea, and I was like, well, how about this? Fuck it, let's just do it. You know, whatever, who cares? It was fun. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I did it with my friend John Simpkins, my friend Ryan Hagen. We had another friend of mine, Chris Harris, on, and we just kind of talked the tech stories. We actually had some interesting people who actually gone on to. Work at ABC, other ABC affiliates. It's kind of funny.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, no, for sure. It's kind of cool. I don't want to say anyone specific, but in any case, what I learned from that, because most of my friends worked at TV stations and production stations and things like that, is the concept of essentially doing production and making sure. Because the thing is that when Ryan. Chris and John and I did the podcast. Ryan, and I thank him for this ever. I can never thank him enough for this. Instilled in me the idea that production value matters. And it instilled in my head, and it's something that is still stuck with me today, thankfully, that I may not ever have the biggest audience, and I'll probably never have the biggest audience, but I will be damned if I don't have at least something that sounds slightly professional and slightly produced, and something that sounds a bit polished. And having him force me to make sure that certain things are edited, make sure certain things audio sound good, making sure that I bought certain, buy a decent microphone, excuse me, and essentially concentrate on the production side of things. I'm really glad that that's kind of my first experience, was that was what I had to do. And that's probably been the biggest takeaway from the first podcast. As for this one, the one I'm currently doing, My So-Called Deep Bit Life, it was just kind of birthed in the idea that I want to record conversations that I had with friends. In terms of the things I tend to talk to my friends about, all of them are kind of funny and all of them are kind of interesting. And I would love – and most of them I would love – I'd like, fuck, I wish I could record this. Why did I document this? Shit, this would be an awesome thing to put in a podcast. Because at that time, I started listening to some podcasts. I started listening to a lot of conversation podcasts. And I was like, damn it, this would be great. This would work out perfectly. And, that's kind of how it was birthed. Is it necessarily because I want to do my own stories so much? Maybe. I think it's just because I started listening to like a thing, things like Smodcast, and realizing, oh, so you can do a podcast where you simply just talk. Okay, that works. You mean you can have a podcast where you're just completely dorking it and record it? Okay, I can get behind that. That's fun. That's easy. You mean to tell me I can record this, put it online, and maybe two people will download it? That's awesome.
Oh, you can't have a podcast and saying how flip cards are ruining Magic. That's pretty. Oh, nice.
No. And again, because ultimately, all I ever wanted to do in terms of, the first podcast was, let's see what we can do. Let's try to do this tech thing, because I want to talk tech stories. Mainly because I just want to talk tech stories. All the things that have been birthed out of whatever I want to do is because I wanted to ultimately do something, around that. Like, I wanted to do a podcast where I just spoke, or I wanted to do a podcast where I did this, or I wanted to talk about tech stories with my friends. So let's just record it while we talk about these certain stories. And so, like I said, the biggest takeaway from the first one, and like I said, I can't thank Ryan enough, is instilling me with that sort of idea to strive for, at least if you're not going to get the audience because you're not if the way that Twit works, because this has always been my thing with Twit, and I love Twit, and I love it. It's a great podcast. It's a great network, but Leo got lucky that the screensavers happened. And I'm glad it did, because we all got Leo in our lives.
Well, he had a
radio Canadian show. But he has a radio show.
Right. He also had a Canadian TV show, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but he was a damn virtual freaking head, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he's lucky that the screensavers happened. Because that is what that's how I know about Twit. Is because I watched the screensavers back in the day and saw Leo Laporte on there. That's how a lot of people know. Now, granted, now it's gotten bigger and better and what it is. But if it wasn't for that initial, oh, hey, it's Leo. What's Leo doing these days? Then, Twit might have never happened the way it did. Because he saw his radio show, he would still be making money. We would be like, oh, yeah, he's doing a radio show, whatever. But because of that, that's how Twit happened. So if I never ever got, obviously there's a lot of podcasters that never did have, the screensavers, and are still doing great. Not saying that they don't exist, but every podcast I've ever kind of known has been like, like Smodcast, like, oh, it's Kevin Smith, the guy that did Clerks. It's, Leo Laporte, the guy that did screensavers. And that's,
right.
And
it's like, not they had some kind of success to sort of build off of.
Right. And it's not to say that their success isn't valid. Clerks is a great film. Screensavers is a great TV show. Those things, it's valid and it makes sense. It was the fact that I go, okay, if I can never get that, if I'll never get that audience, if I'll never get that kind of number, just because I'm not Leo Laporte and just because I'm not Kevin Smith, I'm at least going to make sure that that the podcast sounds like something Leo Laporte would have made, or sounds like something Kevin Smith would have made, in terms of either stylistically or production wise, or somewhere in between, and kind of hit that happy medium that allows me to do things off the cuff and to sound sort of natural, where at the same time in front of me is a organized sheet of paper sometimes, where I have certain points and plots and hits that I want to get to kind of keep the conversation flowing.
Well, speaking of that, I did the exact same thing, and the only reason that I did that is because I saw your document when you were showing off your documents.
Yep.
The other day, you're like, "Oh yeah, dude, see, this is how we lay everything out." Well, I did that too as well, and so I'm going to go into the last half of the podcast part, and I want to know what your favorite stuff is.
What like my favorite stuff is?
Yeah, just favorite things. So how about we start with something easy? How about favorite food?
Favorite food? Any food?
Yeah. I mean anything edible. For sustenance.
I like myself some blood. No, just kidding. Blood's edible, right? Actually, there's a lot of things edible. No, personally, I'd say sushi is one.
Nice. I'm a what huge kind of sushi?
I'm a big fan of actually sashimi. I'm a bigger fan of the raw fish sushis than I am of anything else. Pasta's good. Yeah. And I'll say as my last thing, life cereal.
Yeah, there you go. Throw the cereal in, dude. Nice. You know I'm a huge cereal fan. I'm like, yeah, hey, dude, I'm on board with that. Well, so life is a good one to pick too. How about favorite drink? Alcoholic or non-alcoholic, whatever you.
Okay, Diet Coke in any of its capacity. Actually, I take it back. Cherry Coke Zero specifically.
Yeah, Cherry Coke's nice.
Root beer in. Pretty much any brand.
Have you ever heard birch beer?
No, root beer.
No, but have you?
No, I've never had birch beer.
Oh, you should try it. It's good.
I will. Cream soda, and I'll say my a White Russian, the alcoholic drink. Might as well put that there. And as my last drink, and it's two brands of ginger ale, and for different reasons entirely. And that's really? Canada Dry ginger ale and Werner's ginger ale.
What's the difference?
Canada Dry obviously is a bit of a lighter ginger ale in terms of stuff. It doesn't really, you know, make you want to sneeze or cough or anything like that. Whereas Werner's, like, you if you breathe it in the right way, you will sneeze or cough or go, whoa, that's ginger ale. Wait, it's good. What? I'm not kidding you. You think I lie, but to open up a can of Werner's, sniff it, and if you hit the right bubble in your nose, you will sneeze. I do that every time. It's weird.
So you like Werner's ginger ale because it induces
no well no, it's a good it's a different it's it in terms of ginger ale has more of a kick that makes any sense. It has a bit more of a bite, but because of the way it's carbonated, I don't know what it is, if it's the combination of the ginger they use and the fizz, but every time like I ever breathe it in, it's just like you know, I sneeze. It's crazy.
Oh, I guess that's good. All right, so a little bit harder now. How about your favorite JRPG?
Japanese RPG? A favorite one? Easy, Earthbound. Next question.
Oh, darn it. All right.
But if you want to have my not, like, I do have tiers of favorite of Japanese RPGs.
Give me your top three.
All right. If it's a Final Fantasy series, it's definitely Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
If it's a non Final Fantasy Square Enix game, it is either Chrono Trigger or specifically Secret of Mana. If it's a non-Square Enix RPG, it's Earthbound. And if it's a completely US-made RPG, it would be the Diablo series, I'd say.
Cool. Yeah, that's some nice picks there. How about a favorite arcade game? I know you're always hitting up that pinball place down the street. So.
Yeah, but there's... There is one arcade game that if I walk by it, I am required almost by law to play it.
Nice.
And that is Galaga.
Nice. Galaga, all right.
The Galaga is by far my favorite arcade game of all time. That doesn't mean I don't like Ghosts and Goblins or DDR or anything else, But I would definitely have to say Galaga is my favorite arcade
game. You're a pretty big DDR guy too, aren't you?
I'm at least a minor DDR guy. I'm not a big – I mean, I play it. I enjoy it. I love it. But I am definitely not like a – I could do tournament legal. Like, no, I get my ass handed to me in tournaments without even a – like, they like, oh, you're playing a tournament? Just sign the beginners. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll play with the little kiddies.
Aww. So how about favorite board game?
Favorite board game is going to have to be – God, I got to think about this one.
And I'll tell you what. We'll merge it with card games. How about
one no, board – No. Give me – no, keep it board game, because if we do card game, I'm gonna start coming to blows in my head. I know which one it is.
Oh, good.
My favorite board game is going to be Heroes Quest.
Yes. Good call.
Hero Quest
is a really underrated game. A lot of people don't appreciate that game.
A lot of people didn't play it back in the day because it's because it's D&D light. And if you've never, and I didn't realize it until later on in life that it was Dungeons & Dragons light.
But do you realize that 4th edition is using a ton of elements from Hero Quest? Like you have figures now and maps and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, now this is basically Hero Quest. So. Right.
And the thing is, like, it's D&D light and – if you played it back in the day and weren't kind of even had the mindset of a D&D, or even like your brain could go, okay, that's what D&D's for. It's a fucking long setup of a game with very little payoff.
Well,
if you don't have a large enough group, you definitely have to have people to play.
There's definitely been games though that have eclipsed that, like the World of Warcraft game is seen and stuff like that. So how about so card game then? Let's see these come to blows here.
We get. Do you want to have it non-TCG?
Let's do one of each.
Okay, non-TCG and a normal deck of cards. Euchre flat out.
Really, Euchre? Yeah,
Euchre and or Texas Hold'em. In terms of a normal deck of cards, Euchre's a fun game. I love Euchre. I played it throughout high school, and I desperately miss it.
I have not played enough Euchre, Pinochle, or Bridge.
And I love Euchre.
Hope to rectify that one day.
If we say a non-TCG with like a custom deck, I think I'm leaning towards Flux right now.
Yeah.
Flux is kind of fun. And of course, if it's a TCG card game, I'd be totally dismissed if I didn't say the Star Trek Next Generation. No, I'm kidding. It's Magic the Gathering. There was a Star Trek Next Generation TCG.
It sucked.
Of course it did, but it had a date of laughing card.
The Star Wars one wasn't too bad. I played that for minutes that it was popular.
Yeah, it was kind of boring, but it's okay.
All right, so since we are draft time buddies, how about favorite movie?
Give me a genre, because that's a go again. We could come to blows again.
Favorite movie, like if you had to get stuck on an island, something you had to rewatch constantly.
As much as I love Blade Runner, I'm gonna say Ghost in the Shell.
Ah, that's a good call. Ghost in the Shell.
It's not to say I don't love Blade Runner. I do love Blade Runner, but if I had to get stuck on an island and I had to watch a movie over and over again, Ghost in the Shell is one of those movies I could watch visually.
Blade Runner.
Yeah, you Braid Runner. You underestimated Deckard. No, because it was between Ghost in the Shell, Blade Runner, and as a third pick, either Spirited Away or Finding Nemo. It's a tough. That's why I ask you genre, because I get to the point where my brain goes, oh my God, I would love – like there's a time where I go, you know what? I kind of want to watch the end of Ratatouille right now. And I love the ending for Ratatouille. I love the ending for Ratatouille. It's one of my favorite endings. It's one of my favorite kind of Pixar ways of kind of wrapping everything up. I love Ratatouille. It's one of my favorite Pixar films. Or only watch the ending to, you know, Finding Nemo or pop in Wall-E at the end. You know, I loved the ending for Wall-E and it made me
Wall-E was really,
you know,
good.
Cry and tear up or Up. I love the ending for Up. You know, if I had to pick a movie that if it was a movie like what's
Star
like,
movies in general.
Yeah, pretty much. There's many movies. Like if you ask me, like, for example, what's the movie that made you cry the most, that's Toy Story 3.
Oh.
You know, I could say that and I bawled my eyes out at that ending. And I even as I know what's happening, like I have watched that ending of Toy Story 3 and pretty much I know what's happening. I know where it's going to go, and I will still tear up. I will still kind of go, you know, thank, you know, at that end, just, you know, see you later, partner.
I refuse to watch it until I'm by myself in like a room.
I don't care.
Nobody can watch me.
I don't care.
All right, so the last couple are going to be the hardest. Favorite chiptune artist?
Hallie.
Nice.
Hallie. All right. Hallie would be my favorite chiptune artist. I love Alex Marr. I love Inverse Phase. I love me, you know, some other guys. But if I had to say a guy that put on a great show, that made a funny show, and that is a crazy son of a bitch from Japan, that is Hallie. Hallie is by far, just because there's only so many artists I know that will make a Famicom song, a Game Boy song, and then out of nowhere use the Pokey chip from the arcade and simulate Marvel Madness. And I go, you know what? Yeah, that's my guy. You hit every mark I like. So yeah, Hallie, I'd have to say.
Awesome. All right. How about favorite chat realmer?
Oh, favorite chat realmer. God, geez, the thing is, I have a chat realmer here, and if I don't say a name, I'm going to get hit. I just got to think, what's my favorite chat realmer? Because it's
hard.
Let me see. If I were to say a favorite chat realmer, and it's a chat realmer that I could hang out. Well, see, let me think. God damn it! Why'd you ask that? Because if I don't say you,
I'm not included.
Okay. If I just say favorite chat realmer, and this is not to say that I don't like them all, everyone else, I'm gonna have to say Dan Dirks.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's not to say I don't like everyone else. I do. I love everyone else too, to be honest. But I just if I have to be put, actually scrap that. I like Dan Dirks too. But you know what? I'm gonna scrap that. I'm gonna say Zach Holder. Zach Holder is my favorite. Mainly because there are only so many chat realmers that trust my opinion, and I'm kind of glad Zach trusts mine. And so, go Zach Holder.
Cool, good deal. How about favorite guest so far on any of your shows?
Justin Robert Young.
Yeah, there you go.
Quickness. Well, because I enjoy talking with everybody for the most part, but I really enjoy Justin episodes because I'll have a plan, and that plan never really comes to fruition, and then somehow we hit an hour, and I don't know how. I'll have like things I want to talk with Justin about. I'll have exact things I'd love to just chat with Justin about, and I'll write them down. I'll go, hey, let's chat about this, Justin, you know, in my head, and we get talking, and we never get there. And yet we get an hour, and it's great. And I talk about Firefly and why I think it failed. He talks why he thinks it failed. And we talk about that, and it's like the hour mark is up. So, yeah, Justin for sure.
All right, last one. Favorite Twitch show?
I got to say
that one short-circuited the brain, huh?
Well, because, like, there are two.
Yeah.
Actually, there are three technically, but I'll put them in order of best to worst in terms of the top three. NSFW for sure would be the best. Second would be TNT, Tech News Today.
Nice.
And third, because I every time I hear it, I learn something awesome, that's Security Now.
Yeah, I knew as soon as you went there that Security Now was going to be on that list. Yeah, I mean, Security Now is such an awesome show. I think I would have to put... that is a really good. See, if I had to answer that, I think I would be about there because.
Okay.
I gotta put Game On. I think Game On is gonna get up there too, though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think after the first.
Obviously, I have to wait till the episodes kind of kicks in more. But yeah, I'd say those are my top ones right now.
Nice. All right, so I'm gonna do a little bit. So we got a few minutes left. Not a whole long time, but. How about a little bit of rapid fire?
Sure. Explain to me once again what rapid fire is.
All right. So rapid fire is something basically they do in, you know, in an NSFW show when a jury has to vamp for, you know, 5-10 minutes, and chat realm will just kind of just put out there, you know, this or this, you know, right. Seahawks or Eagles or, you know, or dinosaurs or oil, like,
okay.
You know,
right.
that kind of thing. So I have a few here and nothing crazy, but I figured it'd be the good
life or death, life,
cake or death, death, please. Oh no, no cake.
No, 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 no cake.
No, no, you said death first.
Okay.
But, all right. So how about Tacos or burritos?
Tacos.
American barbecue or Korean barbecue?
Korean barbecue.
Super Nintendo or Genesis?
Super Nintendo.
Philips CDI or 3DO?
3DO. Because I think the 3DO was more closed as a platform. And I think the CDI had was more open than a platform.
They were both horrendous.
And they were both horrendous. So neither really. But yeah, 3DO, I'd say.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Battletoads?
TMNT.
Tom Merritt or Tom Merritt's beard?
Tom Merritt.
Rebecca Black's Friday or Arrow to the Knee?
Rebecca Black's Friday.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't take an arrow to me. I don't want to. Because thing is, like, Friday is like, well, it ends soon. And it'll just.
Eventually, it's not Friday anymore.
Eventually, it's not Friday. And an arrow to the knee is kind of, well, it kind of just keeps me paralyzed. And so, you know, I could take it if it's like, it's Friday, every Friday, fine, whatever, fuck it. It's one day. It's like TGIF.
OMG Chad or John Tilton?
Tilton.
Yeah, I would have said that too. Gundam or Battletech?
Battletech.
Yes!
As I say, I don't like Gundam, but Battletech.
Eat that, King Kaz! All right. I'll explain that one day. Alex Trebek or Pat Sajak?
Alex Trebek.
Yeah, there you go. Veronica Belmont or Felicia Day?
Veronica Belmont.
Vermin Supreme or porn star Stormy Daniels?
Vermin Supreme.
for a little background on that, Vermin Supreme is a crazy Republican guy that's running for a candidate, and porn star Stormy Daniels actually ran last year.
Hold on. Is he running on the Republican Party?
I think so, yeah.
That's even more awesome. Can he and Ron Paul be on a ticket together? Good Can Lord. We have the ultimate crazy next?
Oh man, that would be insane.
I'm ready to pay for that. Who do I pay to put that on the ballot?
I would buy a vault in a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, I would definitely start giving Vault Tech a call if both those got elected to president. I would literally start like, all right, time to form Vault Tech. Let's see, what do we need for Pip-Boys? We need, yeah, I would seriously start planning for the apocalypse at that point.
Yeah, we are pretty much done. Anime or Adult Swim?
Adult Swim. Sorry about that. Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. And that's about all I got. The last question that the chat room was wanting me to ask you was, did you eat my fries?
What?
No? Yes?
No, I didn't eat your fries. That was Joey. Joey ate your fries.
All right, so that was I didn't get really too many good questions from chat realm, unfortunately.
Well, that's because I've answered pretty much every question that chat realm has ever had about me.
Everything possible. That's why I had to make sure it was pretty thorough today. So all right, man. Well, thanks for being on your show.
Thank you for being on my show. But thank you. I thank myself for being on my show. Self, what would you like to promote? Well, if I had to promote something, I guess I would promote my so-called 8-bit life. It's the podcast I do. Really? What's that? Never mind. I shouldn't do that. You guys know the show, my so-called 8-bit life, mysocalledbitlife.com.
Make sure you go onto the website, mysocalledbitlife.com, and comment. The Twitter is at mysocalledbitlife, and go to the...
The Twitter is at 8-bit life podcast.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, god damn it.
Look who doesn't know the show well enough.
No, I wrote that, man.
Yeah,
you said last episode, and this is where I got my info from. I think you said last episode it was my so-called 8-bit life.
I said go to my so-called 8-bitlife.com. There you'll find links to the Twitter page, the Facebook page, and all previous episodes. And
you did. That was your one.
I know my spiel better than you do, sir.
That was really good. Go to the Facebook page too and like it.
All right. Okay. Aaron, thank you for doing this interview about me. So I will let you end the show, sir.
Cool. Tune in next week when Roberto talks to another geek on this silly podcast.
Take care, people.
Later.